Turn with me to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. I know it's a common thing nowadays for a lot of preachers. They preach on subjects and they'll talk about how to finance your, handle your finances, how to handle your marriage, how to handle your children. I'll tell you what, if we'd have more preachers preach on the cross, those things fall right in place. We cannot make too much emphasis about the cross. We just simply cannot do it. And when you get the foundation right, everything else will fall in place. And that's why we need to make sure that we have this foundation built around what took place on the cross. In Matthew chapter 27, we're going to be starting in verse number 27. And this is just what took place on the cross, the day that Jesus was crucified. And I know this is pretty much a lengthy reading. I think it's necessary for us to hear it again. And so let's just read together. Matthew chapter 27, verse 27. Then the soldiers of the government took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. They stripped him and they put on him a scarlet robe. When they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. They bowed the knee before him. They mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spit upon him, and they took the reed and they smote him on the head. After that, they had mocked him. They took the robe off from off of him and put on his own raiment and led him away to crucify him. As they came out, they found a man, Simon by name. They compelled him to bear his cross. When they were coming to a place called Golgotha, say the place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. They crucified him. And they parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted his garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head this accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." There were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And they that passed by, they reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Destroyeth the temple and buildest it in 3 days. Save yourself, if thou be the Son of God. Come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests mocked him with the scribes and the elders and said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there were darkness over all of the land until the ninth hour. Pay close attention to that. That is from noon until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And after the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway one of them ran, took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. The rest said, "Let be, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks did rent. When the graves were opened, many bodies of the saints arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watched Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Just as we were speaking, that when we look at the cross or the flag this morning, we recognize the colors, the stripes, the stars. Every one of those have a meaning to us, and we know that they symbolize something. I want us to know this morning, the cross has a symbol. The cross is a symbol. I was sitting here trying to think about it, just kind of like we do and recognize the things of the flag. When we look at the cross, what can we say that the cross represents to ourselves? There were three things I wrote down, which it could be many, many more than this. But there's three things that I wrote down that when we look at the cross that it can symbolize. First of all, the cross can symbolize, and we can recognize by looking at the cross, God's holiness. God's holiness. And the reason I say God's holiness, because when Jesus came and died on the cross, God allowed the exact thing that would happen to each and every one of us, He had to allow that to happen to Jesus if He was going to pay our sin debt. He had to suffer like us. Would it be right to say that if you had a garment on that had one spot on it, would that garment be spotless? You couldn't say that. If it's got a spot on it, it wouldn't be spotless. It wouldn't be pure. It wouldn't be clean. It's got a spot on it. And that is the same thing that when we look at the cross, we can recognize that God allowed His Son to die on a cross and represented full holiness. He didn't make any escape for that. John 3:16, all of us know that. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent His Son to die on the cross. I was listening the other day on Thursday as we listened to some of the veteran recognition programs that were on TV. Over the years, there's been 19 million Americans serve in our military to protect and serve our country and to maintain the freedom that we have today. It's been a couple of years ago that I discovered this. Do we realize that is less than 1% of the population of the United States that have served in the United States? They are the ones that have maintained the freedom throughout the years for the United States of America. I want you to know I'm proud to be a veteran. I'm proud to say that I served. I'm proud to be around other men that have served to maintain the freedom. And in order to do that, we recognize that many men and women have had to die to maintain that freedom. In order for us to have freedom from our sins, someone had to die. Someone that was perfect. Someone that was pure. The sacrifice had to be holy in order for it to pay your sin debt and my sin debt, and that was Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 says this, "For Christ sent me not," and this is Paul speaking, "He sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Many places in America, right here in America, when you show them a picture of a cross, they call that foolishness. They recognize having faith in God and in one who died on the cross, they recognize it as weakness, that you've got to depend on someone else for faith. Hey, listen, in some countries, it's against the law to possess a cross or to display the symbol of a cross, because it is not only is it as offensive to some countries, it is completely against the law to display those. We should be grateful in America that we are still allowed to use that symbol as a representation of our faith. Listen, and it doesn't matter what... I know that is a popular form of jewelry today. Okay? I mean, it's a popular thing. There are many people who wear either cross earrings or a cross necklace or something to that effect, it doesn't mean anything to them. But for those who believe, that cross represents freedom. And we recognize that. It represents the holiness of God. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, it says this, "For he hath made him to be sin for us." God became sin. Jesus on the cross became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, what we understand is when Jesus was on the cross, and I stopped us here just a few minutes ago while I was reading, and it says this in verse number 45, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour." Now, to be darkness, I mean, some people say, well, that's when a natural eclipse took place. Well, I want you to know, when you look up that word darkness in the Greek, what it describes is a darkness similar to that darkness that came over the land of Egypt when God brought the plague of darkness over them. It was a darkness that could be felt. It was a darkness that you didn't look out and see a light in the distance. This was a darkness that closed in on you. When Jesus was on the cross, and this is what Wayne Bickley believes, from that 12th hour, or from noon till 3 o'clock, the sins of the world, present, past, and future, Jesus Christ, he bore the sins of the world. That is when that darkness fell on him, and he became the sin for all of the world. I was reminded of a verse in Isaiah chapter 53. I'm going to flip to it right quick. Isaiah chapter 3 and 53 and verse number 10. This is what it tells us when God the Father looked down upon his Son, and he saw him flogged. He saw his beard pulled out. He saw him bearing that cross. He saw him beaten. He saw him ridiculed. He saw him mocked. In verse number 10 of Isaiah 53, it says this, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." The Bible tells us it pleased the Father to see his Son willing to bear the sins of the world, because he bore the sins for all iniquity. This is what it also tells us. It says, "And when God the Father looked down on Jesus, he was satisfied." He was satisfied that the payment that Jesus was making on that cross satisfied his judgment for all of the sins of the world. That's what took place on the cross. My goodness gracious, do we recognize that? Jesus died for me and you so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So when we look and we see the example of the cross, the symbol of the cross, and we recognize holiness, we recognize that God did not even spare his own Son when it come to being holy. God's judgment, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ." This is what it is saying. It is saying the consequences for sin is death, and Jesus paid that debt by dying on the cross for me and you. That sin debt has been paid. The second thing that I see when I look at the cross, I see the symbol of love, of God's love for us. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, it tells us that God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I listened to an old country song a long time ago, mine and Susie's song used to be "Always and Forever." Always and forever, each moment with you. Should I go on, honey? It's just like a dream. Well, that was our song when we first got married. We had little signs in our house, "Always and Forever." And we'd sign our names, "Always and Forever." Hey, but I'd heard an old country song one time, and that old country song said this, "Love is not what you say, but it is what you do." That's all I remembered about the song, okay? But love is not what you say. Love is what you do. And God demonstrated His love towards us in that He was willing to go and die on the cross for us. That's what He's done for us. He demonstrated His love by dying on the cross for us. Now we have to sit here and think, you know, how long did Jesus remain in heaven with the Father and kind of sit there and look and say, okay, now when am I going to go and present myself as the Savior of the world? When is that going to all take place? Well, let me tell you, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8, it tells us this. I didn't write this in my cheat sheet. Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 8, it says this. And all the dwelling upon this earth shall worship Him. Talking about worshiping the Lord Jesus. Whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. So when was it that Jesus declared that He would be the Savior of the world? Before the foundations of the world were ever laid, God knew in His foreknowledge that man would sin against Him. God knew in His foreknowledge to redeem man that Jesus, His Son, would have to die on the cross for the sins of the world. Before the foundations of the world, God knew in His love for mankind. Hey, I saw this in some of my notes the other day, and it said this. God would rather go to hell for you than to go to heaven without you. Do you hear that? God would rather go to hell for you than to go to heaven without you. In other words, Jesus died on the cross. And now there's a whole other sermon here. I'm going to just touch it just a second and then keep going. Jesus did not go into the burning side of hell. I hope we understand that. That's not where Jesus went. The word hell means the place of the dead. Where did He tell the man on the cross that He would see him that day? He said He would see him in paradise. Yeah, Jesus went to paradise. But Jesus was separated from the Father. That was the death that is represented here. That's where the payment was made, when He was separated from the Father, when the darkness covered Him. That is when that separation. And Jesus did all of that so that we might have life, and that we might have it everlasting. And we recognize that today. When we see the cross, it should represent our freedom from sin today. It should represent the love that Jesus had for us. It should represent His holiness for us. And then the last area, when we see the cross, well, let me back up just a second. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14, it says this, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now in our Sunday school class last week, we went over this, talking about the handwriting that was against us. In those days, if you went to jail, they would take a post or a plaque and they would write on there, this is your offense. You stole two lambs from Mr. So-and-so. And then on the bottom of that, it says, in order for this to be paid, for you to be released from prison, I think the law back then was if you stole a lamb, you had to replace it with four. So the payment would be that you would have to replace these two lambs. When you paid Mr. So-and-so eight lambs, you could be set free. Do you realize that back in those days, sometimes if you stole two lambs and you didn't have family or someone to come to your rescue and find those eight lambs and return them, you might be in there for life because no one would come to your rescue, or you couldn't come up with a payment unless maybe that gentleman said, okay, I'm going to let him go. I'll drop the charges against him. But this is what Jesus has says right here. He said He done for you. He took all of your sins. He took everything, every written ordinance against you, everything that you've ever done, everything that you ever will do, and He was wrote that ordinance that was against you. He placed it on the cross, and it was on the cross that He died and paid that off so that you might have freedom. Whew. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. We have a cross that we can look to as a symbol of God's holiness, of God's love, and we can look at that and we can see what God has done for us. The third thing that we can look at, and I appreciate the song that I just got through singing, is so many times you hear someone like they speak about salvation and they talk about how Jesus died on the cross for our sins and they focus on that. But we need to make sure we understand what the Scripture says that brings salvation. If you will confess with your mouth, this is Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that what? That God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So many people want to talk about the death of Jesus on the cross, but they neglect the power. They neglect the power. They forget about the power. Hey, listen, there's been many people in the world that people recognized as gods or kings, and they would take and they would serve, and people would bow down to them and they would worship it. They died and they put them in a tomb, and guess where they're at? They're still there. Not Jesus. When we look at the cross, we can recognize the holiness of God, we can recognize the love of God, and we can recognize the power of God over death. We need to understand, if Jesus had not rose from the grave, we would not be rising again to be in eternity with the Lord our Savior. It is the power over death that we have. In the song that I was talking about, it says it's about the cross, it's about my sin, it's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. And then it doesn't stop there. It said it's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I can have real life someday. It's about the cross. We can be saved today when we put our faith in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the cross. And that is where true life begins, when we get born again into Jesus Christ. As we said, and we look at the symbol of the flag, we recognize what each part of that flag represents. We can today, we can look at the cross and we can see ever dynamic of what the cross represents for us. In 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, it says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from your vain conversations, but we were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." Jesus Christ gave His life so that we might have this freedom. The greatest freedom that any person can experience in this world is when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Hey, listen, as we heard the testimonies about the last 7 or 8 weeks about these persecuted Christians around the world. Hey, these people are imprisoned for their faith. They were beaten for their faith. They were maimed because of their faith. But I want you to know they declared freedom even while they were in prison because of Jesus Christ. We can have that same freedom when we profess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And I want to challenge you to do that. I know many are listening today on Facebook. You can sit right there at home. You don't have to be in the church house. You don't have to be in the church house to be saved. I wasn't in the church house. My mom wasn't in the church house. My dad wasn't in the church house. And you know, I've given you all those testimonies. Listen, you can be sitting right at home today, and the Holy Spirit can be speaking to your heart today, and you can recognize that Jesus died for your sins on the cross, and you can be saved today by simply putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Something similar to this. Lord Jesus, I want to thank You for loving me the way You have. I believe that You died on the cross for my sins. I believe that You rose from the grave. And God, I simply ask You today to save me and forgive me of my sins. And He will do it just like that, according to God's Word. So where are you at today? Where are you at today? I just want to make this a challenge for everybody today. Where are you at in your relationship? Hey, I hope this week that you have. I hope you've told a veteran, thank you for your service. It means a lot to them. All right? They're not asking anybody to clap their hands or beat a drum. But it means a lot. I remember I was in the Navy in the 80s, and I remember walking down the side of the road in Norfolk, Virginia, and you would see signs in Norfolk, Virginia, "Sailors and dogs, keep off the grass." Just say thank you. Amen. Okay? Listen, this morning, if you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, hey, stop again and say, "Lord, I just want to thank you for the salvation that you have given me, what you've done on the cross for me. God, I want to examine my life this morning and see if I'm living up to what you have done for me." Maybe just take a little inventory this morning. And you might want to recommit your life this morning to serve the Lord even better than you have. Let's stand together as we go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity that you give us every week, every day, to have a relationship with you. God, as we see this symbol this week, no matter where it's at, as they pass a church and maybe it's on a steeple or maybe it's in the bathroom where the wife or someone has a cross, maybe a piece of jewelry that we're wearing even today, God, help us be reminded of what you have done for us. That demonstration of your love on the cross for our sins. God, as we enter into a season of thanksgiving, God, maybe this will be a time that we give and say thank you for what you've done. As we enter the Christmas season, God, help us not to be swamped with the celebration of Christmas, but God, that we would remember what you've done. And it is that symbol of the cross that represents our salvation of what you've done for us. God, I just pray your Holy Spirit's been free to move in amongst us this morning. And God, I pray that you've been speaking to the hearts of people everywhere. And we just pray that you'll be pleased with our decisions this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sing this hymn.